Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
Hey there, folks. It's Troy. MC and I weren't able to record this week. You see, I live in Oregon, which is just currently on fire everywhere. My family and I are safe. There's no issues with that or anything, but it's just been smoky as hell, and it's just been hard to do much of anything for that reason. So we don't have an episode for you this week, but we do have some information from Ninja Boy on the show we're covering, which I should probably know the name of off the top of my head, but I don't, because I just keep calling it Samurai X in my head, because its real name is complicated, and by complicated, I mean it is words in Japanese that I cannot remember. Rurouni Kenshin. So Ninja Boy, our anime consultant, gave us some breakdown on this, and it ended up being long, so it kind of works out well that we weren't able to record. So you'll get some extra long Ninja Boy here, and then next week, MC and I will be back with episode one of Rurouni Kenshin. So for now, I'll hand it over to Ninja Boy.
Hey there, Twirl and MC, and to all of the listeners of the Best Animated Show Ever So Far podcast. It's Ninja Boy, your resident anime consultant and host of the Yet Another Anime podcast. I'm super excited this week to bring you the background for Rurouni Kenshin, aka Samurai X. It was one of the first series a young Ninja Boy ever completed reading back at the Jacksonville Public Library system, so if you couldn't tell by my moniker, tales of ninja and samurai always have a soft spot in my heart. So, Rurouni Kenshin is the work of one Nobuhiro Watsuki, which is the pen name for Nobuhiro Nishiwaki. Born in Tokyo in 1970 and raised in Nagaoka, Watsuki from a young age drew manga. He also competed in kendo, or the sport of Japanese sword fighting, but apparently he never won a match and eventually quit, which he used as inspiration for some of his characters within Kenshin. In 1987, at the age of 17, he won an honorable mention in the 33rd edition of Shonen Jump's semi-annual Tezuka Awards, meant to cultivate and reward new manga talent. His winning entry was a one-shot called Teacher Pon, though apparently it has never been translated and can't be found in the West. He also won another newcomer award, the Hop Step Award, in 1991 for his one-shot Hokuriku Yurei Kobayashi, or Hokuriku Ghost Story. While on his way to being a mangaka, after graduating high school, he moved to Tokyo and began work as an assistant to various Shonen Jump mangaka. Among these include Yoichi Takahashi, the mangaka behind the soccer series Captain Tsubasa, and the legendary Takeshi Obata, the artist of many popular series including Death Note, Hikaru no Go, and Bakuman. In turn, when Watsuki became a serialized mangaka himself, he would go on to mentor future Jump superstars Hiroyuki Takei, the mangaka behind Shaman King, and the legendary Ichiro Oda, creator of the best-selling manga of all time, One Piece. In 1992, Watsuki published his first one-shot in Shonen Jump, Crescent Moon in the Warring States. Set in the Sengoku period, also known as the Warring States period of the 1500s, it tells the story of warrior Hikosejuro of the Hiten Mitsurugi Ryu sword fighting style, fighting against terrible odds in the war. You can actually read this one-shot in the sixth volume of the Rurouni Kenshin series as a bonus. Watsuki followed this up with two one-shots in 1992 and 1993, both titled Rurouni, Meijin Swordsman Romantic Story, following the same character, former samurai Himura Kenshin, during the Meijin period, using his sword skill to help those in need. These can be found in the first and third volumes of the serialized seriously. Presumably, these one-shots were so popular that Shonen Jump began serialization of Rurouni Kenshin, Meiji Swordsman Romantic Story, or, as I'm going to call it, Rurouni Kenshin for short, though sometimes in English it's also subtitled Wandering Samurai. A lot stays the same, most of the same characters, including Himura Kenshin, remain the same. This was published between 1994 and 1999 in 28 tankobon volumes for 255 chapters. As of 2019, it has sold 72 million volumes worldwide, good enough to be in the top 30 best-selling manga of all time. Now, before I go into the actual behind-the-scenes of the anime, it's time for a quick history lesson just so you can better understand the scene of Rurouni Kenshin for when you're watching these first couple of episodes. So, the series begins in 1878, or as the Japanese would call it, the 11th year of the Meiji era. after the tumultuous Warring States period, aka Sengoku, from his first one-shot, you know, this was like year of 100 years of fighting, featuring characters like Oda Nobunaga and Toyotomi Hideyoshi, who have many manga and anime inspired by them. After this 100th century of fighting, the Tokugawa shogunate would end up ruling over Japan for a period of about 270 years from 1600 to 1870. This is known as the Edo period. So the general was most known for having a very hierarchical structure. The emperor was presumably on top, though this was largely a figurehead position. Most of the real power actually held by the, again, the Tokugawa shogunate. Underneath the shogunate were the daimos, or lords, and then they were supported by an autonomous warrior caste of samurai. And then all the common folk, the tradesmen, the peasants, the farmers were all underneath them. Remember, you know, what's really important for this is, again, for later, you have to realize that the emperor, while on top, was definitely a figurehead. In this period, you know, people were pretty happy with this arrangement because Japanese largely thrived with political stability and a lot of economic growth. Now, for anyone who remembers their world history lessons, during this time period, Japan was largely isolationist, which may have contributed to some of the stability and economic growth, and their borders were mostly closed to the Western world. You know, if any missionaries from Portugal especially tried to get to Japan, they would often be kicked out or executed. However, this all changed in 1853 when Commodore Matthew Perry of the United States came to Tokyo Bay and kicked off the rapid reopening of Japan to the Western world. After being made aware of just how far behind the rest of the world Japan was, especially in terms of military power, and considering that there was a lot of economic instability during this latter half of the Edo period due to famine and the influx of foreign capital, various samurai within the Choshu and Satsuma regions began a movement to expel the long-running shogunate in order to create a government that would better enforce the imperial will of the emperor. These were known as Isinshishi, or Men of Purpose. Opposing the Isinshishi were pro-shogunate loyalists, including the police force known as the Shinsengumi. These were all characters who will appear in the Rurouni Kenshin series at one point in time. This class ultimately ended the Boshin Civil War, which ultimately ended in a victory for the anti-shogunate pro-imperial revolutionaries. While they had initially planned on wanting to expel foreigners from Japan, realistically, that wasn't going to actually be able to happen, and so they ultimately chose the more pragmatic path of embracing the inevitable modernization of Japan in the hopes of growing to a point where they could compete with the Western powers on the world stage. This is what's known as the Meiji Restoration, named as such because power was restored to the emperor. These last few years of the Tokugawa shogunate are also known as the Bakumatsu, which is what you'll often hear referred to in Rurouni Kenshin, literally translating to mean the end of the Bakufu, Bakufu meaning the shogunate. In the manga, Kenshin acted as an assassin, or Hitokiri, of the side of the pro-imperial Isinshishi. In fact, Kenshin is based off the real-life samurai Kawakami Gensai, who is known as one of the four Hitokiri of the Bakumatsu. Other characters in the manga are based on real-life members of the Shinsengumi, who Watsuki is a real big fan of, ranging from character designs inspired by Shinsengumi to actual Shinsengumi appearing in the series themselves, most notably Saito Hajime. Other figures include the ninjas inspired the Oniwanban, government spies of the shogun, though obviously fictionalized for dramatic effect, and as well as the political extremists known as the Sekihotai. Also, the Isinshishi Okubo Toshimichi, who was assassinated in real life, appears to also get assassinated in the manga, though and not quite as dramatic or for the same reasons. Side note, some of the other characters in the show have other non-historical inspirations. These include Evangelion, multiple X-Men. See if you can spot which character, if you read the manga or watch the entire series, is based on Apocalypse, who is apparently Watsuki's favorite X-Men character. Other Marvel characters, including Spider-Man, various fighting games, including Darkstalkers and Samurai Showdown, other manga, and most notably, the serial killer and puppeteer Ed Gein, who was the inspiration for Silence of the Lambs, Psycho, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Back to the history real quick. Ironically enough, samurai who were supportive of the Imperial Revolution would be the ones most affected by the Meiji Restoration and the inevitable modernization. under the Shogunate, they had had a near monopoly of military power and a guaranteed income. In the interest of having a more Western-style modern military to support the emperor, the Meizhen government prioritized abolishing the way of life of the 1.9 million samurai and their families, about 5% of the Japanese population. Their guaranteed stipends were eventually converted to government bonds. Universal military conscription to the newly formed Imperial Army was enacted, which ended the monopoly on military strength. And most notably of all, within Rurouni Kenshin, samurai were encouraged to give up their swords and enter private industry. This was done through the Sword Abolishment Edict of 1876, 2 years before the start of the series, banning civilians from owning weapons. There were a number of local samurai rebellions, such as the Satsuma Rebellion, who felt that the revolution's initial goal of, quote, Sono Joy, or revere the emperor, expel the barbarians, particularly failed at the expel the barbarians part. And they felt that this motto kind of had been lost in the Meizhen, you know, in the Meizhen Revolution. These rebellions were quickly put down, and Japan was in full steam ahead into the 20th century. Okay, so now that you all have that history, back to the anime. As with most popular Shonen Jump manga, Rurouni Kenshin got greenlit for an anime production which began in 1996. The first two seasons, up through episode 62, follow the manga through the Sisio Makoto arc in Kyoto. However, by that point, the anime actually caught up to the manga, which was still going on in 1997, and episodes 63 through 95 are anime original stories, with the final episode actually being included only on the VHS and DVD releases, ultimately ending in 1998, 1 year before the manga was able to complete. Watsuki, however, did know that he very much appreciated and enjoyed the anime original stories, so take that for what it's worth. The anime, which aired in the 90s in Japan, was ultimately licensed and dubbed into English by Sony Pictures under the title of Samurai X, after Kenshin's X-Scar, for distribution outside of North America. However, it was eventually licensed by Media Blasters, who released it on DVD here in the States. It began airing on the Toonami block on Cartoon Network in 2003, again with only the first two seasons through episode 62 being aired, though the anime original content did make it to DVD. Currently, all three seasons are available on Netflix. Aside from the mainline manga and anime series, though, there are a number of additional Rurouni Kenshin-related works. But this doesn't even include stage plays, light novels, video games, and art books, as well as complete collector's editions released later on, which include some various one-shot sequels of What Happened to Everyone After the Fact. On the anime side of things, in 1997, there was an original anime movie called Isshin Sisi en no Chiko no Chinkonka, or Requiem of the Isshin Patriots. In North America, this was just known as Samurai X, the motion picture. It was released on DVD in 2001. Then, there was also the highly acclaimed OVA, original video animation, called Rurouni Kenshin or Samurai X, Trust and Betrayal. This acts as a prequel to the entire series and explores the origins of Kenshin as an assassin during the Bakumatsu, and how he got his signature cross-shaped scar on his cheek. Running over four episodes, it came out in 1999 and adapts the 14-chapter Remembrance arc after the Sisio Makoto arc. This sets up the final Jinchu arc that was not adapted in the anime. This was followed by a two-part Rurouni Kenshin Reflections OVA that was also edited together into a complete theatrical director's cut. In comparison, the final arc, the Jinchu arc, is told mostly through flashback in this two-episode OVA, and instead focuses on Kenshin's relationship with Kaoru Kamiya after the events of the manga. Notably, where Watsuki did appreciate the anime original story of the full series, he considers the ending of the Reflection OVA as non-canon due to it having a sad ending. And then, you know, in 2011, Kenshin returned in animated form with a retelling of that popular Kyoto Sisio Makoto arc in two 45-minute movies, Rurouni Kenshin New Kyoto Arc, The Caves of Flames in 2011, and Rurouni Kenshin New Kyoto Arc, The Chirps of Light in 2012. 2012 would also see the live-action adaptation of Rurouni Kenshin into a two-hour full-length feature film movie, simply known as Rurouni Kenshin or Rurouni Kenshin Origins. This was so successful that it actually spawned two more live-action adaptations in 2014. to Rony Kenshin Kyoto Inferno and Rony Kenshin Legend Ends, both of which adapt the Kyoto arc. These were licensed by Funimation Films for North American release in 2016, which I actually got to see in theaters. Having seen them myself, I can say for sure that these are no holds barred the best live-action anime adaptation of any anime I've ever seen. And that's not just because they're, you know, most live-action adaptations are subpar. This is legitimately a great film on its own. Go watch these if you can. I believe they're on Amazon, I think. In any case, a fourth and fifth live-action sequel were actually planned to come out this summer, 2020. Obviously, with the whole global health pandemic thing going on, these have been delayed to spring 2021 for Japanese release, and I'm really looking forward to these. On the manga side of things, in order to promote live-action films, Watsuki actually started a 10-chapter reboot of the series called Rurouni Kenshin Cinema Version or Rurouni Kenshin Restoration. These and some standalone special chapters were published in two tankobon volumes in 2012 and 2013. And then in 2014, in honor of the live-action sequels with the Kyoto arc, Watsuki wrote two spin-off chapters called Rurouni Kenshin Master of Flame, more focused on the villain Sissio Makoto. Then in 2016, Watsuki returned again to Kenshin with the two spin-off chapters, Rurouni Kenshin's side story, The Ex-Con Ashitaro, with his wife Kaworu Kurosaki as the story consultant. This was in the monthly Shonen Jump magazine Jump Square. This actually ended up being a prequel to what is now known as the Rurouni Kenshin The Hokkaido arc, which began serialization in 2017. In fact, Watsuki had the idea for the sequel based on the northern Japanese state of Hokkaido back in 1999 when he ended the series at first, but because he had wanted to start a new series since he had been doing Kenshin for 5 years at that point, he let it simmer until just recently. Side note, his other non-Kenshin series, Gunblaze West, Busu Renkin, and Embalming, the Another Tale of Frankenstein, are all also excellent series worth reading. In particular, the series Busu Renkin, which is a sci-fi battle manga. Now, unfortunately, this is the part of the segment where I'm sorry to inform you that in 2017, Rurouni Kenshin, the Hokkaido arc, was put on hiatus when Watsuki was found in possession of child pornography. Without getting too much into details, Japan is known for having a very different cultural standard when it comes to pornography, and it was only due to international pressure in 2014 that DVDs that Watsuki had previously owned through this legislation were made illegal to own. Ultimately, Watsuki was fined, and the Hokkaido arc resumed serialization in 2018. Thus far, there were 3 volumes and 24 chapters, and the series is still ongoing. However, English publisher Viz Media chose to drop translation or not release the series here in the States since 2017. Now, it's easy to end this on a down note and say what could have been. It's easier to write off Watsuki and all of his work up to this point because of his personal fetishes. And if you choose to do so, I completely understand. However, I would be lying if I said I still did not have some appreciation for the work he was able to accomplish, if not the individual in question. I think the series as a whole does an amazing job at portraying someone coming to terms with the horrible things they did in their past and how they can atone for it in the future without giving in to humanity's darker instincts for revenge or self-destruction. After the Meiji Restoration and the bloodshed of the Bakumatsu, Kenshin and so many others were lost characters left wandering in a new, unfamiliar world that they don't know if they have a place in it. Some people reacted this badly, some people adapt. Some people had lost comrades in the bloody combat, while others had caused people to lose comrades in that fight. Many others felt betrayed by causes that they thought were just at first, ultimately that turned out to just be another power-hungry faction. And what you do in the world, you know, seems like it's turned on its head, and maybe you've done things you aren't proud of. Where do you go? Ultimately, finding that sense of purpose, whatever it is up to you, and learning to move forward with your own way, be it of making a podcast or your own way of the sort or being a fan, and doing what you can to help and protect those right in front of you with your own two hands, instead of living in the past, trapped by anger or grief or helplessness, not being able to forgive or feel like you can be forgiven, and also all the while holding on to your own morals and code no matter how crazy the world tests you. That's what I think I took away from Rurouni Kenshin, despite, you know, the leanings of its author and how I'm able to come to terms with appreciating all that Rurouni Kenshin has meant for me and the formation of who I am as a person. And in today's crazy world, I think that lesson is a little bit more needed more than ever. Anyway, thanks for having me on Twirling MC. I hope you and your listeners enjoy Rurouni Kenshin or Samurai X. Let me know what you think of it on Twitter at YetAnnoAnniePod. My anime podcast, Yet Another Anime Podcast, airs on the 2nd and 4th Fridays of each month, and I provide recommendations on seasonal anime to watch, as well as looking back at older shows, either by genre or director or just franchises in general that I think are very important for any anime fan to know about. I hope to catch you there, but in the meantime, back to you guys.
Thank you, Ninja Boy. I really appreciate it. And thank you for listening. Like I said, we'll be back with our regular breakdown of episode 1 next week. Until then, don't change the channel.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work
for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
Do you like K-pop?
Anime?
Astrology?
General shenanigans?
Hi, I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Haley,
host of the UU podcast.
Chelsea, what's uwu?
Uwu is the feeling you get of too much cuteness or an overwhelming feeling of happiness.
New episodes every Wednesday.
Catch us almost everywhere podcasts are available.
Podcasts so cute, it'll make you go,
uwu!